Okay.
Oh, in open session?
Okay, so let me call the public back in, or Danielle.
Whoever's left, come on in.
Jeez, you know, 70 feet. That's contradictory.
Does it feel good, Charlie?
Well, how many we lose?
Nobody.
When he's sitting over there, these short sleeves.
I don't see that.
Almost did. It was getting cold out there.
All right, Jim, we're back in open session, and the public has been invited back in, so go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to mention to the Commissioner Savage, there I recently sent you folks an email about some new legislation. Four different House and Senate bills were adopted by the legislature that have some impact on the district. And in addition, and Mr. Barbas, I sent you an email that contains the notice that you have to provide your employees about the earned income tax credit. It's in relationship to Senate Bill 398. And if you have issued your employees W-2 forms already this year, which I suspect you may have, I've attached the form of the notice to my email. You can either you have to provide that notice to your employees. You can either do it by mail, by email, or just handing it to them personally. That notice was taken from a Boley website. Heather Porter, an accountant at Harwood McAdam and Wardnick, which is the accounting firm that my law office uses for our accounting matters, looked this up and provided me with this information as I was asking around trying to find out if anybody knew about this. She responded, and she's using the notice that Boley sent out, so you're safe in using that. Just make sure you get it to all the employees that got a W-2 form.
Okay.
So, Travis, I would like to forward that email to you and have you take care of getting it to all employees who receive the W-2 for the 2017 tax year.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yep.
Okay. And there were two or three other items on the original email that I did forward to Travis before, and I haven't heard if they're being attended or not. So.
Yeah, well, like I said, the main thing is if you are hiring employees and you're giving out employment applications, review your employment applications and delete any reference to prior salary history. That again will give rise to a legal claim against the district if they ask that question, because it's now prohibited under Oregon law. It is discriminatory to know what someone's salary history is, because you have to pay people based on something other than what they have paid in the past. The other issue that we're going to have to take a look at is the Ports Public Records Policy. There was a substantial change in that law. I'm in the process of drafting revised public record policy for another one of my clients, and as I get farther into that, I'll be able to send down something to Port staff to review and disseminate to the Commission if necessary, so you can take a look at these changes and adopt a new policy. But the legislature drastically tightened up the time frames involved. They got to respond to a request initially within 5 days and tell people whether you're going to provide the records or whether or not they're exempt or whether or not they have them or don't have them.
Okay.
So, Travis or Danielle, can you guys get the employment applications updated to if they have anything about prior salary removed?
Okay.
We don't have any current open applications out. We're not soliciting.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
All right, Mr. Coffey.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me the time. I have a set, and we'll keep moving forward with this. See where things wind up. Right now, no reason to lose too much sleep over anything.
All right. Thank you very much, and I'll be in touch.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Everybody have a good evening.
You too.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye. Okay. Financial report. We have that in front of us.
I went through it. It looked real good. And one thing I'm real proud of, getting that new financing deal we did last month, because we moved our funds into a new account that we work for the state covered. We got $274 interest last month, and we weren't getting that before any time, but it's moved into a fund, and not very much, but it went up 0.25% this month already in interest.
Looks like we're starting to have a lot of accounts receivable. So hopefully we get those collected.
Well, the big one down here is for under 30 days. This one's a lot of write-offs.
I would like to get back for the commission to get the receivable report again every week.
By person, it was.
Yes, and it was by the person or the business that was behind, and it gave us the
30. Kim included that. I just didn't include it in the
packet. Yeah. Are these going up on the website now?
They will be, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Ready,
operational.
Yep. Operational report.
Kim did need approval on this account to go to collections regarding John Griffin.
Oh, yeah, that's under 5A.
Oh, okay.
It is 5A. Travis, do you or Danielle understand what it means we received unclaimed notice dated 12-1?
I don't.
Well, yeah, speaking of, notice wasn't claimed at the post office or certified mail, what it says in here.
Oh, okay.
The guy, they never found the person, the way I read it through it this afternoon. There's a sort of confusion. The votes are the same name, one's two and one's a, it seems like the same name kept popping up in both of these write-offs.
There's two different ones?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just the sea chicken.
And it was the same, for some reason, the sea chicken too, it looked like to me. I don't know.
And in the third paragraph in the timeline, it says sea chicken
too.
Yeah,
on 5A.
Yes, 5A. And up above in paragraph two, it's sea chicken. And up above in paragraph one is sea chicken. So is there a sea chicken and a sea chicken two?
I think it's sea chicken two. I think that she just didn't put the two behind the sea chicken.
But there's two different, on both write-offs, there's two different people's names with the same vessel name. What's the, there must be an OR number on them or some kind of identification number. And I don't find it any place in there there's ever been an identification number.
I only see this one name, John Griffith.
There's one
if there's another name that most likely is like a co-owner of the company, co-owner.
I believe this is just one boat.
It's just one boat. It's called Sea Chicken 2. I think that Kim just didn't put the 2 behind the sea chicken. But it should all be for John Griffith, that one person, and regarding Sea Chicken 2.
My other question on this is, so we've seized it and put a lien on it, but it's gone. Is that?
believe when Skylar went down to go put another notice on it, it was gone.
It should have been taken out. When we put the last time anybody knew it was here was like October 16th or something, whatever date, I don't remember the exact date.
Yeah, so it was on the inventory on the 16th.
Before that.
Well, it was. He said it's on the inventory on the 16th, but then he said we seized it on the 18th, and then did it come back in November or something? Is it just gone?
It's gone. Okay. I move forward. We go ahead with it. Turn it over to the
collections.
Collection agency.
Is there a way to locate the boat? It's got to be in some harbor. No.
Return the debt over. You never seized the boat.
Huh? I think we've legally seized it.
Have we?
I don't know how that process works.
No, we've never legally seized the boat.
Well,
this is strictly for mortgage fees.
I think there's a lot of confusion on this, and I would like to see this, some clarification, and be on the next agenda. Well, have we seized the boat? Do we need to go get the boat? Or are we just going to put collections in moorage? And if the boat is then left at another port, are they going to come after us for moorage fees because we've seized it? I want more clarification.
I would not want to seize the boat.
Well, I believe we did.
And that's what concerns me. And that's what I would like clarification on.
So,
it does
none of
say
page
on
numbers,
whatever
but this,
page it is.
Yeah, this page.
It says we, if you receive this notice, seize the vessel on 10/18. I'm Beth Skyler.
Port of Brookings now claims a possessory chattel lien against your vessel and its appurtenances.
So I'd like to see if there was a lien put on the vessel.
So I think we maybe just have a lien. I'm not sure.
No. We turned over collection. It says it's in here. For mortgage. No, I don't care if we do it tonight or tomorrow night or next week.
I'll put together as much information as I can.
What, Travis?
I'll put it together as much information as I can find.
I didn't think we really got the vessel. We didn't want to lean up. We might have wanted to lean up, but the vessel disappeared.
Yeah, well, I think we need to start with seeing if we put a lien on the boat, and that's where we need to start.
Is gone.
But I'll get as much information as I can. I'll have it ready for you.
Thank you. So we'll move that.
Well, I mean, we have here, the lien's been recorded, it looks like. Well, it's been put in front of a notary. I guess that's not recorded.
Let us, since we didn't get the packets, we didn't have a lot of time to read them, let's go through them. We can go through them. We'll be back next week anyway.
All right. So we're going to continue this to next week. Motion to continue to next week.
Yes.
Second.
Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barbas?
Yes.
Commissioner Christian? Yes. Operations report? Speak.
We received a final letter from the Oregon State Marine Board. I attached it with your packets. The reimbursement came back as $14,184. RV park restroom, we found that we can close the bathrooms, and in our brochure, it actually states that the bathrooms are closed from 10 to 7 every night. In addition, we found that we are compliant with the number of lavatories to serve the amount of RV spaces that we have. So that was just a good reassurance. RV park electrical has been completed as of today. We are continuing to get prices for the installation of the kite field fence. Continue to walk docks to check for dock damage and ensure the vessels are secure. We continue to work with Ban Pacific to help move items away from the closed, dilapidated dock. Now that the crab pots are getting cleared out, we can finish moving all that stuff in the coming week. And then, as much as you are aware, the fishing vessel Instigator sunk in our harbor early Monday morning. We responded as soon as we got the call. Our crew worked hard, and we were able to have the vessel out of the water, and oil booms picked up around 4 p.m. All agencies were notified with the help of our Chukko River Coast Guard station. We would like to thank them for ensuring that all the agencies were notified and for all the help that they provided.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one question. So do we need to replace oil supplies, or is all that reusable, or what?
All of those will have to be replaced, and right now we're currently just putting together the bill for all the items used. And,
okay. And Travis, you're going to bill them on our rate we have on our rate sheet, right? What I want to know, why are we in the marine salvage business? We need to put out the booms, I understand that, but why did we spend all that valuable time when we'd be doing other things, doing the job for the insurance company and the skipper?
The insurance company still has not returned our call.
Well, let me see.
What would you like, in the case that a boat sinks in our harbor, what would you like to see done?
Make sure the booms are contained and... I thought...
I'm just acting on how we've acted every boat.
I think you've done an excellent job. I'm not complaining. I think we need to make sure that we don't lose other productive time. They do have insurance, right?
Yes, sir.
It is on file.
Yes.
It is good.
Yes.
So I think that there are a number of reasons why we remove boats from the harbor as quickly as possible. One is, I think there can become a hazard for other boats. They can leak, creating environmental issues. I think we have fees in place to recover what are. And my understanding is it's been port policy to remove them as quickly as possible. So I feel that staff should be commended for doing an excellent job.
I agree. Thank you, Travis, and your staff for working all day long on that.
And all middle of the night.
They did a good job. There was no pollution when I was down there. I walked down the dock. There was no pollution showing any place. And I was surprised how easily they got it out. And it just happened to be a little smaller boat than most up in the harbor. But they did an excellent job of doing it, and I pray just make sure you charge plenty to the insurance company or whoever.
We'll all be charged accordingly.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments on operations?
Travis, is that just about the amount? I didn't have a long chance to read this. Is that about the same amount
it we were going to get back? Came,
a little bit more, wasn't it?
It was. The number, I believe, and I don't have it, but I believe it was 20,000 is what it was. But they don't, the equipment rental, I think, was one of the things that they weren't reimbursing us for.
Okay.
No problem. And that's what dropped that number down.
No problem. We got money, and then we got it in.
14,000, yep. A little more.
Telehandler, old business. I've been working with Umpqua Bank, and they are giving us the loan. And Kim has been working with them to get them the information. And it looks like we're going to have this next week.
Yep.
So.
Will the loan papers be sent over here to sign, or I got to? I can ask Kim. Don't worry about it. I'll ask Kim.
RV park restrooms?
Yes, the RV park restrooms, from the last meeting, we wanted to talk more about what I was talking about with what we could close down on.
Right.
The bathrooms, and So with everything that we have, we are okay to close the bathrooms during high surf, and in our brochure with it saying that it's closed from 10 to 7, I think we've covered our bases of letting at least the guests know when they check in that there is, they will be closed.
Okay. Old business approved, excuse me, any other discussion? Approved big contract.
Make motion to approve the contract to Topper Industries for the launch, the ramps. I know there's a little addendum here about some. Go ahead and read it. No? No communication.
Well, it's just something I wrote up before the meeting. So you're fine if you just want to add with signature.
Just go ahead.
All right. You're withdrawing your motion?
I'm withdrawing all my motion.
All right. I move to award the contract to Topper with signature authority to temporary, well, we haven't appointed her yet. Temporary interim port manager Catherine Lindley Hall and President Angie Christian. And if we don't appoint her further down, we'll have to come back and revisit this.
I'll second the motion. Any discussion? Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barbas?
Yes.
Commissioner Christian? Yes. New business. Interim manager and the personal service agreement.
I move that the Port Commission accept the temporary interim manager's personal service agreement with Catherine Lindley Hall and authorize President Christian to sign the personal service agreement.
I second.
Any discussion? Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barbas?
Yes.
Commissioner Christian? Yes. System development charges.
You want me to take that?
Please.
So I asked for that to be on the agenda. And hopefully down here I have some. Yeah. We received a letter from Harbor Sanitary last week, on the 31st. And I went in today and met with Kelly and got some clarification what the letter means. And so as I understand her, we have $211,000 worth of system development charge credit at Sport Haven Beach for taking out Feely's and the laundromat. And they are giving us the ability to move that into other areas of the port essentially as needed. So I went over with her some scenarios and some numbers, and one thing that has come before the board was the discrepancy between what Bell and Whistle was quoted for their expansion and what Uncorked Wine Bar was quoted for moving in. So we got a resolution of that. At one time, Bell and Whistle talked to us about taking both suites, but when she went to Harbor Sand, she was only talking about taking one suite. So that's why she had a $13,000 quote, and Uncorked had a $23,000 quote for taking both. And also there is a difference in what types of business and the rate. So that's one mystery solved. And then I asked her, so down the road, we might want to reopen a laundromat or a convenience store at Sport Haven. And when I asked that, they also recommended Anthony, is it Burdett? Was also present. So the two of them recommended that we consider adding some RV spaces as well, particularly where the current dumps site that's closed, RV dump, is. They thought we could throw in two RV sites easily there. So she gave me a very rough quote. None of these numbers except the $211,000 are set in stone. But basically, for five RV sites, a 1,000-foot convenience store, and four washing machines, at today's rates, which are going to go up on July 1, and continue to go up every year, but at today's rates, about $90,000. So we might want to reserve a significant amount of our $211,000 credit at Sport Haven to permit that sort of development in the future. And these would expire in 10 years from when Feely was raised. So we have probably 9 years or more to do that. Gary, jump in if I say anything wrong.
No, everything's been all right so far.
Okay. So discussed with her, Gary Dellinger had provided, and it's mentioned in the letter, January 31 letter from Harbor Sand to the port, that she had received a list of things that have already happened, expansions that have already happened on the port that SDCs have not yet been paid. And they've, to clarify for the public, we've also not ever been billed for these at this point in time. This is the first time we've had any estimate of what those charges would be. These are preliminary. She needs to get inside these places and actually measure them and take a look at the operations. But based on what Gary Dellinger gave her, these are some ideas of what we're looking at. And I also spoke with Travis today, and this first one, I think, is not actually occupied at this time. So this would be the bell and whistle use of the 100-square-foot closet out back here. And that would be $1,046.12 if it's actually 100 square feet. And But Travis did not think she's in that.
May have to look at
that. We're not sure if she's in that or not. So again, this all needs to be ground truth.
She doesn't use both sides.
Yeah, she doesn't use both sides. She just uses one side.
She wanted both.
Okay, was the one side an expansion, though?
We're going to have to look at
that. We'll have to check that out.
She wanted our storage area. I don't know if we...
Yeah. We'll check that out. But worst case, that would be $1,046. Dollars in SDCs. Hungry Clam took over a little internal storage area, 220 square feet. Harbor Sand proposes to credit us the SDC that was available for, we had already paid for use as an office, which gets us about $129 credit. And then charge it under fast food, and that comes to a net charge of $45.10.87.
$45.10?
Yes, for 220 square feet of storage.
no building, nothing going on in Harbor.
Does that also include their expansion?
The expansion into the second suite occurred during a time frame when Harbor Sand was not collecting expansion fees, and they get a pass on the expansion into the second suite. And also, the Sport Haven Marina open seating area is getting a pass for the same reason, that those dates were not subject to the charge. But there's another Hungry Clam, and that's where they took the outside seating. And that is officially leased to them. Harbor Sand needs to determine if it's an exclusive use or if they're permitting other people generally on the port to use it. If they determine it's an exclusive use, that outside seating area would be an SDC of $4,070.33.
I don't believe that is exclusive for Hungry Clam. I've seen people over the years.
And as I told Kelly, tables. I have actually sat there with festival food and eaten
I've had Zola's pizza at those tables, so I don't. They don't monitor, and you can't sit there. This is only
so. So Kelly said basically that's what she will look for, is to see if they're kicking people out. But the other factor she said to look at was if we did lease it to them, and we do. So Travis and Kim looked that up for me this afternoon, and in fact, it is leased to them. So I don't know how she'll rule on that, but that's the amount there. And then for Zola's, I think this just covers where they took out the boat and put in an ice box or some kind of storage. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what, if anything, is going on with that trailer that they put in front, but I don't believe that this estimate covers that building that they put on skids in front. 396 square feet at the fast food rate comes to $8,351.56. And again, she needs to get in there and ground truth that space. So, those are the amounts, and I guess what do we have, about 20,000-30,000? And then the question that I have, and the reason I brought this up, is it seems to me we have a mission of promoting economic development, and we have this space that we're sitting in tonight that's basically not fulfilling the mission, as it sits empty, and we're also losing revenue on it. And so I would like to figure out if the board is interested to figure out some way we can move some of those SDCs over from Sport Haven and use them in some way to facilitate development on the port and get people in these spaces and maybe recover those costs over time, or possibly into a fund that we could then purchase new SDCs when we need them, or something. I just have some very arbitrary numbers in my mind of maybe a tenant would pay a quarter down and pay a slightly higher lease rate down the road, and we would pay the SDCs to get them started and recoup that over a 10 or 15 year period or something. I don't know if the board's interested to do that.
I spoke with Coffee because, as you know, I sent him our agenda and our packets, and he is very concerned with this. And I don't think that we should do anything or even think about doing anything without checking, because these fees are governed by certain public body laws, and we cannot, as a commission, just start moving things around or saying, we'll give you this credit and you pay us back here. This has got to go through our port council.
And the other thing about it, these people all have done their own expansion, wanted to expand. I don't think we owe them anything. They need to pay their bill. We're using the same sewers, water in, sewage out. It's all they pay for. They're just paying for the square footage, but it's still water in, sewage out.
And I don't mind promoting tourism and economic development, but my goal is to protect the port first.
That's right.
And as far as asking if Bells and Whistles wants to expand and they want 10 years to pay us back, there's no guarantee they're going to be open in 10 years. I mean, I hope they are, and I hope it's the same owners. I'm not comfortable with that long term.
No, I'm. I think they need to pay themselves. They want the space, pay for it.
But I think before we do anything, Jan, I would love for you to email Mr. Coffey and get some more information of what we as a commission can do legally and do it right. So.
And you know, this space here, has it ever been the paper for advertisement for rent?
That's not what we're discussing.
Well, I kind of think it is, because the question is putting it to use.
Well, it was, wasn't it, Danielle? Didn't we have that for rent?
I have no idea.
Bubbles.
Bubbles was interested in.
And then the
We have had multiple people that have been interested in it, that have came in and showed interest. I'm not sure about how much has been publicly known. We'd have to look into that, but somehow, some way, people have been coming in and asking us about it. So. If it's not in the paper and it's something you guys want, just got to say so and we'll make sure it happens.
I would love to be able to help new businesses come in with a short-term repayment. But again, we need to get more information from our attorney.
I agree.
Well, I certainly wasn't planning on action tonight. I was asking if we're interested in going in this direction. So if the board is...
I'm interested in helping new
businesses.
I'm
not interested in moving any SEC's clients we have now. And I'm not interested in putting any full RV park hookups. So come up with four, you know, it needs to be a bigger discussion than because nobody got to see it before.
And maybe even a workshop down the line.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Commissioner reports.
I would like to...
Mr. Thompson.
I'm Mr.
Right
Thompson. Danielle, I like to you say that we put the numbers on top what part of the agenda they go to now. That was pretty
nice. Does that work for you?
Yes, that helped.
I don't know much about what the item, so I figured that's the next best thing.
That's good. And I'm glad we got that done with down at the boat. And it was a good effort. And I'm glad we had that telehandler to reach out there and snake those crab pots out.
Yep.
Worked pretty neat.
Yes,
and that machine is doing a good job. I'm glad we get our new one, get rid of that big bill. And, you know, I'm glad we're moving forward, we're doing okay, we're hanging together as best we can. And I appreciate all the hard work that the staff is putting in with, under the conditions they've been working under. And I appreciate it all of them. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't believe I have anything.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome Ms. Hall to staff, and looking forward to getting her started. I'm going to give her keys to the kingdom tonight, storage, office keys, and the beloved telephone. I don't have it anymore. I'm proud of the staff. We need more staff. That's all I can say.
We need more staff.
Just been amazing working hand in hand, and I really appreciate all of you. So, meeting adjourned.
I got to ask one question. Is that the new place for the Coast Guard boat you're making down there in the corner?
Which one?
The